For many of us, this early part of December is a time of preparing for Christmas. There are Christmas trees to be purchased or hauled out of the attic. They need to be set up, lights put on them, decorated. There's Christmas shopping to do, gifts need to be wrapped. Plans are being made with family and friends for the annual celebration. For many of us, I suspect, there is much to be done. In our liturgical year, we begin the second week of Advent, also a time of preparation. And certainly there's a way in which we're preparing for Christmas, for the annual celebration of the birth of Jesus. Advent is a season of preparation before Christmas, just as Lent is a season of preparation before Easter. And yet, Advent is not just that. It's about something more profound, something more demanding than getting ready to celebrate Christmas. You may have noticed last week and this that these early weeks of Advent aren't even focused at all on the birth of Jesus. We don't hear of Mary. We don't hear of the child to be born of her. We don't hear anything about that until the fourth Sunday of Advent. Instead, our scripture last week was calling us to look ahead to when Jesus comes again in glory. This is ultimately what Advent reminds us we are preparing for. We're preparing for the return of Jesus in glory, and we're doing that by watching, waiting, looking. We are preparing with expectation. We want to be ready when Jesus comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And then this Sunday, we have John the Baptist, who is one of the central figures of Advent. And John also calls us to be prepared. Now, I gotta be honest, John is not exactly a bundle of holiday cheer. He lives in the wilderness, the place of extreme temperatures, of lots of rocks and sand, the place of deprivation. And John's message is not exactly what we think of when we imagine holiday greetings and cheer. His central message is not the call to be merry. It's instead the call to repent. And so into our Christmas preparations, John the Baptist appears and in some ways is interrupting all that holiday cheer. He's in the wilderness calling the people to demanding work, to self-examination, to confession, to repentance. And to mark the beginning of a new way of life, John baptizes in the waters of the Jordan River, signifying the people's repentance and God's forgiveness. The themes of these early days of Advent can be challenging for us who live in the 21st century. God's judgment, sin, repentance, and forgiveness are not things we maybe want to talk much about. There has been a recent trend in the Episcopal Church to move away from any focus on God's judgment and sin, and instead to focus on God's love and acceptance, of God welcoming people. There are some of us who left traditions that focus too much on that message of sin and judgment and unworthiness. And yet, even with those truths, the themes of these early days of Advent are all about those things. So I think it can be helpful to look closely at what John the Baptist is doing and what he's not doing. And first, location matters. The wilderness is extremely important to the people of Israel. After God frees the people from slavery in Egypt, Moses leads the people through the wilderness for 40 years. This journey is a time of testing, and it's also a time of rebellion. The people endure great trials and hardships. They miss the food they had in Egypt. I love those passages where the people say, "Oh, the leeks, the cucumbers. How we miss them." They forget the slavery bit. In the wilderness, it's where the people take some time to rebel against God, where they worship a golden idol. But it's also in the wilderness where the people come to understand themselves, understand their need for God, for their reliance on God. And it is in the wilderness, through that journey, that the people come to trust God, to trust that God will protect and provide for them. When they are hungry, when all the food they brought with them from Egypt runs out, God sends them manna to eat, and that manna comes every day without fail. When they are thirsty and worry they'll perish from that thirst, God tells Moses where to strike a rock so they will have water. When they are at last able to trust God, God makes a covenant with the people, calling on them to worship only God, and God promises to always provide and care for the people. The wilderness is also important in the life of Jesus. After he is baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan, Jesus spends 40 days and 40 nights fasting in the wilderness. There he experiences great temptations. He's hungry. Satan comes and says, "You can turn those rocks into bread. Eat. You don't have to be hungry." But Jesus resists that temptation, and the angels minister to Jesus. And Jesus emerges from the wilderness with a new urgency about his mission and his ministry. And so given that history, I think it's no accident that John the Baptist is in the wilderness. He is out away from the cities, away from places where all the people, the noise, the activity are, the place where there aren't so many distractions. It is in the wilderness that we are able to be broken open. There's no place to hide. Not even from oneself. In that barren landscape, one is able to see more clearly what matters, to come to understanding with clarity. One can honestly examine one's life, as well as the state of the world, and realize some change is in order, that there's room for transformation, that there is a need for God. And there must be something to all this, because the Gospels tell us that people flock to John in great numbers. They use words like "the multitude comes out to hear him." The people must find something in that hard message of John. I think they may be attracted by that message of repentance because they know something's not right in their lives. They know there's something they seek and are not finding, that they need to make changes. It's important to understand that repentance that John calls us to, for it is from a Greek word, you've heard me say this before, some of you, a Greek word metanoia, and it means so much more than our English word repent. English words often have one definition, but the Greek has layers of meaning. And in the Greek, metanoia means to turn around, to go in a new direction, to reorient one's life. It can also mean to change one's mind or one's thinking. Metanoia is a call to go off in a new direction, to give up an old and familiar path. And it's nothing short of a call to give up the ways that our own behaviors and practices alienate us from God, from creation, from our neighbor, and from ourselves. John's call is not the call to consider ourselves failures or beat ourselves up over our failings. Instead, God's judgment is not to call us to be unworthy, but to say exactly the opposite, that we are loved and we are made worthy through Jesus. It's a statement that God loves us always and stands ready always to forgive us. One of the things I love about the season of Advent is that each Sunday, the proper preface, those words that are said just before we sing the Holy, 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 the Sanctus, that proper preface in Advent reminds us of this. Each Sunday we sing that Jesus comes to judge us so that, and I quote, "we may without shame or fear rejoice to behold his appearing." Jesus comes to us desiring not to condemn us to eternal damnation, but comes instead to lead us into salvation. And Jesus does so by calling us to those things that we need in this moment, to accept God's love and God's mercy. So rather than a sentence of condemnation, John's call to repent invites us to a kind of honesty. John invites us to confess the way that our lives have strayed from God's ways, that we have looked away from that abundant life that God desires for us. And John invites us to turn toward the ways of God, to the ways of life, of flourishing, of abundance. It's a call to give up the ways of estrangement and disharmony and disconnection. At the heart of John's message is the proclamation that the Messiah is coming. So repent, prepare, make room in your lives for God to enter in. If we are too focused on the concerns of our daily life or on the pursuit of riches and material goods, how is there room for God? If we are so busy that we never stop and pause and listen, how will we hear God's voice? If we never take time to stop, to wonder, to imagine, how will we see the glory of the world around us? And how will we see God when God acts in our lives and in the world? John the Baptist comes to all people who long for more, who hope for the healing and the restoration of this world. And John offers the call of the path to walk on. The repentance he calls for is that turning toward God, opening ourselves to God's love and God's mercy. So repentance is an opportunity. It's actually a door to forgiveness, to being made a new creation. And it calls for us an openness to God, an openness to God's presence and God's activity, and can allow us to deepen our relationship with God. In our gospel reading today, John the Baptist quotes the prophet Isaiah. These words were spoken by Isaiah to a people in exile in Babylon. They have been overrun and conquered. Some of them have been carted off to captivity. And the temple in Jerusalem, that place where God was believed to dwell, has been destroyed. The people are left wondering, where is God now? Where is that covenant that God made with the people? That covenant where God promises to be present and to always protect and care for the people. To a people crushed and demoralized, Isaiah proclaims the comfort of God, the promise that this time of trial will end. Their oppression will not last forever. God has not forgotten the people. They will return home one day. God is with them and present to them even in the midst of their trial. And when they make their way home, the promise is that they will travel on a restored landscape, that beautiful image of mountains torn down, of valleys lifted up, of a road level and straight. Travel will be easy as they go home. God will put away all impediments and obstacles from their path. And in this deliverance of God, Isaiah assures them that all flesh will see the salvation of God. All people will know God's power to save and to redeem. All people will see God's desire made real, that desire to restore and to make new. So John's call is not a call issued in fear. It's not that you better repent or else. Instead, it's that assurance of the grace and mercy of God, the God who desires relationship with all people. John knows the people are not living as they ought, that they have turned away from God. And the people know something is not quite right in their lives. Something's not right in the world. And so the people dare to set out on that wilderness road, and there they can see clearly and honestly. In that barrenness, they can confess the ways they strayed from God and then turn to a new path, to one oriented to God. And all this is done to prepare, so that when the Messiah comes, they are ready. There is space in their lives to receive God, to accept that undeserved gift of God's forgiveness and grace, even to welcome God into one's heart and lives. So John the Baptist calls us to prepare, not just to celebrate Christmas in a few weeks, but to even something more profound. God wants to enter into our lives. Jesus desires to be born in us, in our hearts. And John is calling us to that way that makes room, that way that allows us to be ready, to be watching in the right places so we see God when God enters in. God's judgment and John's call are nothing short of the invitation to acknowledge that we are created for relationship with God. And yet we forget that sometimes, and we act in ways that alienate us from God. The wilderness of Advent invites us to honesty about this reality. By naming our shortcomings, those sins which separate us from God, from the creation, from one another, and even ourselves. And in our repentance, the promise is we receive God's forgiveness and the power to turn to a new way, to that path focused on following Jesus, that we may be ready to welcome him when he comes. Amen.